got some announcements. Got four of them, if I can remember. First one, the 14th, men, we're going to have our men's meeting, 5:30 here, 5 o'clock, or 5:15, which is 5 o'clock?
Meeting?
No.
5 o'clock.
The dinner.
Dinner, 5 o'clock.
All right, 5 o'clock, we're going to have fellowship. So please plan to attend and enjoy. Ladies, you can come to eat if you're real nice. But it's a men's meeting, so remember that. It's a men's meeting. Second thing is, website has been hacked again and has crashed. Bob, our webmaster, is aware, and he's working to get it fixed. But when it'll be up and running, we're not sure. But please be praying about that, because it is a very good tool for us. And we need to see if we can get that taken care of as best we can. Third thing, I can't believe I got this one. Directory updates available in the file cabinet box in the main office, right? Manila folder, right? No. In the regular folder.
Chocolate.
No more Manila folders.
Chocolate.
Better not see any more Manila folders. That's right. So the color folders in the file box. So that's good. Yes. Got them all, whatever. This Thursday night, we're beginning a new study on premillennialism. It took me 40 years to learn how to spell that thing, but I think I finally know how to spell it. Two L's and two N's. So that's taken care of. So I've got it spelled right on the study guide on the table in the foyer. And believe me, you want the study guide to help you get a handle on what we'll be looking at and what we're up against. Most of your neighbors believe in premillennialism. It's the idea that Jesus is going to come and set up an earthly kingdom in Jerusalem, and the signs are fulfilling, they say. So it's going to be any time. Many folks have made it their life's goal to set the date of Jesus' return based on premillennial theory. So, if you want to help your neighbors, or if you want a clearer view of what the Bible says about the kingdom and the end, then you want to be a part of the class. This is Thursday at 7 o'clock. Now, done with the announcements. What to preach this evening, I was kind of running some things over in my mind. Finally hit on this one. The forever religion. The forever religion is what we're going to think about. There are a bunch of religions in the scriptures talked about. You've got paganism, worshiping false gods, usually involved in the worship of idols, carving sticks and stones according to the imagination of men, and then bowing down and worshiping that image. It plagued Israel, and it's endemic throughout the world. Still is. God says those religions are over. They're done. He's finished with them. Speaking to Israel, he says the name of those gods won't be mentioned anymore. And indeed, we have a time digging up information about those pagan deities. Some we've got a good handle on, historically speaking. Many, we don't have a clue. God was telling the truth when he says they're going to be wiped out of memory. So those are not the forever religions. Well, then you go to what God has put forward, the Old Testament. The covenant with Israel Well, certainly that religion is the forever religion, or a forever religion. I mean, it's from God, and it's the Holy Spirit, and it's the Word of God. Surely, and sometimes it's God tells the Jews, you're going to do this forever. That's the forever religion, right? Well, no. Jeremiah chapter 31. The Lord makes it clear that a change is coming. This is in the Old Testament. This is part of the covenant of Israel and given to the Jews. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Well, that's Sinai. That's the Ten Commandments. That is the basis for a Jew being a Jew. And God says, I'm changing that. That's not going to last on and on and on into eternity. Well, what about all those do this forever thing? Well, as long as you could practice the covenant, you were expected, if you were a Jew, to do it. On and on and on. And teach your children to do it. Trouble is, the Jews were so attached to certain material aspects of their religion, when those material things were taken away, they lost the ability to worship according to Old Testament standards. So you still have Jews, but you don't still have old covenant practice. That's gone. Of course, Jesus made the change, Colossians 2, on the cross. But the Romans made it practical by annihilating Jerusalem. And in the annihilation of Jerusalem, took out the temple, the archives. They don't even know who their priests are anymore. Priests, remember, Old Covenant, could only come from the tribe of Levi. They don't even know who that is. All that's gone. All that's destroyed. As God told them it would be. So it's not pagan world religions. It's not the Jews' religion. Well, what is it then? Is there a forever religion? Believe it or not, some brethren would say, well, no. Not really. When Jesus comes back, everything changes. Well, everything does change in terms of relationship, but in terms of covenant, does anything change? Even as God has given us a new covenant in the blood of His Son, according to 1 Corinthians 11. Well, that's what we're going to look at. So please turn to Hebrews chapter 13. I love the verse. It's good to memorize it. Verse 20 of Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the, and here it is, everlasting covenant. Now the term in the New Testament, everlasting or eternal, is different from the I want you doing this forever in the old. Forever means I want you doing it on and on and on through successive generations. Everlasting means no end. No end. It goes on, as we understand the term, forever. The everlasting covenant. So the new covenant will last. The old covenant had a beginning and an end. New covenant had a beginning and goes on forever. That should not surprise us, because heaven is an eternal home promised to the faithful of the new covenant. Our getting into heaven is based on the blood of Jesus sanctifying that new covenant. God makes it clear that covenant never passes from His sight. It is validated forever. So, is there going to be a new revelation, a new covenant after this one? No. It's for ours, the one we have. Our New Testament is forever new. It will never get old. It will never end. It will never become obsolete. It will never grow old, just like we won't. Amen? It's great. By the blood of the everlasting covenant, may God make you complete this next verse in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Alright, so if the covenant is forever, do you suppose the gospel of the covenant is forever? Let's look at that. Revelation 14. Verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the, there it is, the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell in the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Now, the earth where the gospel is preached, which is here, that's not going to last forever. But the gospel which is preached here will last forever. The gospel, of course, is the Word of God. And the Word of God will last forever. When heaven and earth has passed away, the Word will stand forever. Which means that when you're preaching the gospel, when you're living the gospel, when you're growing in the knowledge of the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection, and exaltation of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, you're dealing with the eternal. You're dealing with the eternal. What Jesus, we just sang about it, and we sing about it all the time. What Jesus did on the cross for us is going to be our theme song for forever. Is that true? Yes. Well, if it is, then the gospel where that song comes from has to be forever. Isn't that marvelous? God isn't going to forget what He did for us through His Son. He'll never forget that. It'll always be, even in heaven, good news. Always be good news. Well, what about the place of Jesus? Now, this is where brethren kind of argue about things. I would suggest that we just wait till we get to heaven before we find out what specifics God's going to rearrange, but otherwise, take God at His word. And in Hebrews chapter 7, we have some wonderful words. Beginning with verse 18 of Hebrews 7. For on the one hand, there was an annulling of the former commandment, Old Testament, because of its weakness and unprofitableness. For the law of Moses, made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there's the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. And inasmuch as He, Christ, was not made priest without an oath, for they, Levitical priests, for they have become priests without an oath, simply by being born into the tribe. But He, Jesus, with an oath, by Him who said to Him, the Lord has sworn and will not change His mind, you are a priest. There's that term again. Forever. Which means He's going to be high priest in relation to us. He's going to be the go-between for us and God. For how long? Forever. So the basis of His law is going to be forever, and His activity within that basis of covenant goes on forever. Now, is it going to be exactly practiced the same way it is now? No. One difference in practice is our worship We won't be taking a memorial to Jesus when Jesus comes back. We do it until he comes. And then we don't have to do it anymore because we're with him. But does that change Jesus' status? There's not one scripture that says Jesus' status changes. In fact, there's only the one that says his status increases, his importance increases in the heavenly realm. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Verse 22, by so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because, here it is, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Now, again, there's some debate on the why would there need to be a priest when we get to heaven? We're going to see God face to face. Why would we need to go between? Also, why would we need an intercessor? This is talking about what's going on now. And all that's true. This is especially true in what happens now, and in people who convert to Christ now. That's exactly right. But again, change of responsibilities and even action doesn't mean a change of status. I mean, we're children of God now. What are we going to be there? Children of God. It's going to be the same thing. We're citizens of the kingdom now. What are we going to be there? Same thing. For how long?
Forever.
And there's the point. So how long is Jesus our perfect high priest? All we know is what it says, and it says forever. That's good enough for me. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives. Jesus does indeed live forever. Such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. So, eternal covenant, everlasting gospel, forever high priest. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Something we looked at this morning. Verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. And then that last phrase, forever and ever. Those who know Greek say that the phrase is unto the ages of the ages. Eternally is the meaning. So how long are we going to be able to give glory to God by Jesus Christ in the church?
Forever.
So then the religion that follows the New Testament as law, that is the pillar and ground of the gospel, that religion that acknowledges only Jesus as the one mediator between God and man, that religion which is, by Jesus' creative act, the church of Christ, and by those who are so added to that church because they have obeyed that gospel, their religion that they practice must of necessity be the forever religion. There'll be nothing else. There'll be nothing more. And nothing else could be as good. Nothing more is needed. Indeed, the scripture is true that says, everything we need, we have now for life and godliness. to get us from here to heaven. And of course, the reward, to close it out. The reward is eternal. Very quickly, Matthew 25. Those unprepared on the left come judgment day. Those prepared on the right. Jesus talks about where they go respectively. So he says, those on the left, verse 46, Matthew 25. These will go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous into eternal life. Eternal and everlasting, same word. It means how long?
Forever.
Forever. Never ending. Never ending. There's one more passage I want to take you to. Luke 1. Gabriel goes to Mary with the command of God to give her the good news that she's going to be the mother of the Messiah. Verse 31 of Luke 1. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob. And there it is. Forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Acts 2 proves Jesus got the throne. And the New Testament is established. And the church is built. How long will these things go on? We count them important. How important are they? How important are they to God? They will last forever. Everything else pales in comparison. Everything else that matters to us in our little concerns pale, does not measure up to what we possess as Christians. The forever religion. The religion of the New Testament. The religion of Christ. The pure and undefiled religion that James talks about in James. Are you a member of this church? Are you a citizen of this kingdom? Are you safe in Christ? If not, let's take care of that right now. Baptize you into Christ. Immerse you into Christ right now. You are in Christ. You're struggling. You need something. The Lord's always there to help. That's part of you, the blessings of being in Christ. He's always there to help. Only a prayer away. Would you let us pray with you? Come, Holy Spirit.
While we pray and while we plead, will you see your soul's deep need? While your Father